The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, threw the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Yes, it does. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposin, my partner, Wynn Carpenter. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Well, the fun never stops, does it?
No, it doesn't.
We're here this morning broadcasting live from KCNR Studios in downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM, your talk radio. You also can listen live when we archive at KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com, and if you have a question or a comment, you can call in at 530-605-4567. Ian, how are you this morning, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I think I'm doing okay. I'm better than I was.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, a little under the weather, you know. So.
Well, it's good to see you above ground now.
Yeah.
We thought there for a little while. It's going to go the other direction.
Yeah, it's not fun. Anyway, back in the saddle here, fighting for Jefferson. Understanding the only way we fix a state is to split it. You can't do it with 80 and 40, and we won't get into all that now because we have a very important guest with us. I'm excited about this. I have a friend here. His name is Renee Perez, and Renee is a movie director. He directs conservative films, patriotic films, not afraid to call a spade. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, no problem. Hey, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, who you are. What got you into the movie industry anyway?
Well, I started off as a musician, and I made a couple of music videos for my publisher, and that led on to me wanting to make movies. And I made a couple of kung fu movies about 20 years ago, and they did pretty good business. Then I moved over here to Shasta County, and I made a Western zombie movie. I didn't realize it was the first one ever made, and it made some money, and ever since then I've been working for different producers and different distributors, and here I am.
That's kind of neat because, well, there was Cowboys and Aliens. Remember that one?
This was before then.
Before that. So you were kind of on the cutting edge. Well, you know, it's, I know that your beliefs and your belief system is conservative,
yes.
That your movies are patriotic. You're not afraid to call a spade a spade. What are some of the themes of some of the movies that you've done?
Well, they're all about, having freedom. Freedom that we used to have, I guess, the 50s, I guess you might call the best time of our human history in this country, in the 80s for me. But it's all about being free, all about defending what's yours. We have a movie called Pro God, Pro Gun, which kind of says a lot of my beliefs. And I'm just a person who's anti-government, so all of that always seeps into my movies. I believe in small governments for small towns, and that's the way I believe we should go. And it's not very popular with the way that the leftists think. They want the one world government to rule us all. And I think they already tried that with Stalin in our history. So we definitely don't want to go down that road again. And it's so important to do things through movies. Talk shows speak to the intellect of people, but movies are story. And stories are the best way for humans to assimilate information. That's why the Bible is not a book of facts. It's a book of stories. It's why cavemen drew adventures on their wall, not text. So movies are a very big part of our culture. And a lot of people are just checking out of movies because there are so blatantly liberal propaganda.
Yes.
Which is a shame because, you know, after a hard day's work, you should be able to enjoy entertainment. You've earned it. And it's a bummer that people have to now, 99% of everything that's out there is left-wing propaganda. And it's like taking a dose of poison every time you sit down to have a meal. Every time you watch a movie, it is a huge dose of poison that you're taking. And you're embarrassed for what your kids have to watch. You're embarrassed for what your wife has to hear. And that's why I made that's why I make the kind of movies that I'm making now. Just because it's great to see people with good morals standing up for themselves, and that's the main course of what I'm doing in on RebellionFlix.com is making movies that hopefully will inspire people to stand up for themselves and their beliefs.
Now, you also did a movie at one point that talked about how the government was going to control the population by some sort of disease similar to COVID. Yeah. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, that was just me postulating. That was just me.
And this was, what, 2019?
2019, we filmed a movie called The Insurrection. And, you know, it's just a plot. Like, it could have been a plot of a James Bond movie. it's nothing that's never been done before. But we did talk about how they would try to control the population so that they could achieve their ultimate goal of a one-world government. So little did I know, a year later, there was going to be a thing called COVID and people looking around for toilet paper and wearing masks. So that's just that was just a weird coincidence. But that was my first movie to ever be blacklisted, because even though at the time they didn't know that there was going to be a COVID, it did speak out about Hollywood. It was a movie about explaining how Hollywood is now in the business of socially engineering a population as opposed to giving us entertainment. So it was blacklisted for that. And then when a year later, when the virus actually hit, then some real big threats started to come in.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting you say that. I mean, here you're a conservative filmmaker in a liberal, extremely, I would virtually say, a communist area.
Yes.
And you're in that environment, and how you got blacklisted, and how it was harder for you to get work, and harder for you to direct films, and do these kinds of films that you wanted to do. You want to elaborate on that?
Well, I'm relegated to making B movies. I won't lie; none of my movies ever really go to the theater. They're all just movies that you see on Walmart. If you go to Walmart, you'll see some of my movies on the shelf there. I've never gone to Hollywood. I've never tried to seek fame or anything like that. I'm more like a worker, a blue-collar worker. And I've had lines of producers out of my door hiring me for the last 15 years, I'd say, just because I make things so cheap and it's economical for them. And they tolerate my adding conservative views. But now that Hollywood is basically said edicts, which are to be followed, racism towards white males.
Wow. That
they know I don't follow these edicts. So now, and especially now that I'm making movies that flat out go against what they say, like The Insurrection or pro-God, pro-gun, that's when the hammer came down. So they've tolerated me for about 20 years, but they just needed me. Now it's not worth it for them, because everyone, every producer that hires me has to prove to the higher-ups in Hollywood, the ones that I don't care about, that they are, you know, obedient. And Hollywood liberals in general demand obedience of thought. And if you don't think the way that they do, they'll find a way to make you a bad guy. So
where do you make the movies if you're not in Hollywood, where everybody seems to think that's the only place you can make movies, but you can make movies anywhere in the world, right?
I film up here. I filmed about 30 movies here.
Here in our area?
In Shasta County, yeah. Okay. Mount Lassen, at the waterfalls, the volcanoes. I just don't make a big fuss about it. I keep myself quiet. And I just go out and do my work, and if I have to fly in an actor, I fly in an actor, and I try to find actors who are okay with these types of themes. You know, I've had a Michael Paré. I don't know if you guys remember who he is. I've had a Daniel Baldwin. I've had John Schneider. Just people who I know are conservatives, and we talk and stuff like that. I did also bring an actor up here called Danny Trejo. I don't know if you guys know who that is, but he's like a gangster-looking Mexican guy. He's in every gangster movie. You know, I try to do the best I can with my little, you know, B-movie world that I'm in. And this is such a beautiful place to film. I mean, it's why I live here. I don't live here because I have family here. I have no one here, just me and my wife and kids. But the place, this place is so beautiful. I don't know why Hollywood doesn't film up here.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, too.
When they might not be able to get a permit.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no, forget about that. Yeah. You know, the permit office up here is horrible.
Yeah, that's why I said that.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up because, you know, the exact things that you're talking about, I mean, you know, Hollywood will be the first to scream about the First Amendment, and here your First Amendment rights are being, you know, being taken away from you by the very industry that claims to be, you know, the
watchdog.
Yeah, you know, the purveyor of the First Amendment.
Yeah,
you know, and it comes to, and I know this is a little off subject, but I think that, you know, what you're saying in Hollywood is sort of a microcosm of what the government is. The government now tries to control everything. You and I were talking out in the hallway about this, Renee, and I think that one of the things, when you look at it, there's always a lot of things about the pundits talking about how the rank and file, the rank and file people, the people who just work for the big bad guys who run the FBI and run the CIA and run the government, those particular people really aren't to blame. But it really is the rank and file who carries out those duties.
There's a name for those people. They're called collaborators.
Collaborators, exactly right. Yeah. And that's exactly right. It's sort of like, you know, what happened to Trump. I mean, those 50 agents weren't upper echelon. They knew they were doing the wrong thing. They weren't following the Fourth Amendment. There was nothing in that warrant that said anything about specific areas to be searched, what they were, et cetera, et cetera.
Weren't they just doing their job?
No, they were not just doing their job. And that's, and Mark Levin went on. Mark Levin went on and went on a long rant about the Fourth Amendment and the 14th Amendment and about how the FBI and the government breaks the law all the time. All the time they break the law. All the time, yet there's no consequences. And all we hear is these pundits complaining and then going off to their next ad so they can make money.
Right.
To me, I think the frustrating part is when we have someone like yourself, there's really, I mean, it doesn't seem to me like you're out there really to become a gazillionaire. What you're out there trying to do is support your family, make sure that your core beliefs you want to bring forward, to your profession. And do you see any way down the road where you can have some kind of relief when it comes to being able to get some work again, or what's your thought process on that?
Yeah, this is my first time in 20 years that I don't have the same job as always. So my only hope is that enough people go to rebellionflix.com, where I am putting in my own effort and
rebellionflix.com.
Everything to make these movies, and enough people go there and rent the movies and pay for them, not pirate them, in order for me to make more. And I know movies seem like a silly thing to be part of a rebellion, but they're not. Movies speak to people's souls, and they're the culmination of all the arts of sight and sound, and they really are very powerful. And I hope that people will go there and rent these movies and give it a try, because everything you're saying is absolutely true. People do need to start waking up and acting on their own and follow their own beliefs. And, you know, conservative people never stop liberals from saying their point of view. But liberals do stop conservatives from saying their point of view. So that's inherently wrong. So they can continue making their liberal propaganda movies. They own all the best intellectual properties. They own all the superheroes. They own all Star Wars and Star Trek and everything that we've ever loved in the last 80 years, Superman. And they can make whatever liberal propaganda movies they want to make, and they do. No one's stopping them, but the fact that they are going out of their way to stop anyone, even at my small B-movie level, from making conservative-themed movies, really says it all.
Well, you know, a lot of that, you talked about racism. Well, it seems like it's the opposite. That's exactly what Hollywood's practicing is racism.
Absolutely.
You know, white man bad. You know, I mean, we're both Latino. Okay, so, you know, and Wynn is half Native American. So it's not like this is a room, the three of us are sitting here in the bastion of the white man's corner. Right. But the point is that, you know, liberty is for all people. And you made a really good point when you talked about, first of all, rebellion. You know, I don't know if this is a rebellion. I think this is a restoration. We already have rights from God. We have those rights, yeah. God-given rights.
Those are the laws that matter.
Those are the laws that matter, and they're protected by the Constitution. The Constitution is simply the line in the sand. It doesn't give us any rights. It doesn't bind the people. It binds the government. Mm-hmm. That's what the Constitution does. So, you know, really and truly, what this is a restoration, not a rebellion or revolution, because we're restoring what we already have that's ours.
Yeah.
The people that are breaking the law, the people that are taking that from us, the people that are usurping the Constitution and usurping our rights is the government, the federal government, the state government, and I would also say the local government to a degree.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's up to us. You know, they've crossed all the lines in the sand, and they've been blatant about everything that they're doing. It's time to do something. I've been hoping everyone would just call me and say, "Hey, Renee, they're mandating the mask. Let's go down to the CDC and drag those people out of their office in Shasta County." I'd be part of that. Or they want to shut off our water after letting it spill out or sending it to wherever else. I'd be like, well, let's go down there and drag some people out of their office. The only rebellion we could do, or trying to reinstate everything, is to do it here locally. We can't rebel against these gigantic imperiums that they've created from the government's office and above. It has to be here locally. So
everything has to be done local.
Yeah.
And that's why we've come up with a three-prong approach. The first prong is the Board of Supervisors. They have more jurisdiction and control than people think. There, you talk about the Health and Human Services. They have control over hiring and firing. Who runs that?
Mm-hmm.
They have control over the budget for the district attorney. They have control over the budget for the sheriff. They have control over many things. The Board of Supervisors, we need to have honest men like the gentleman Chris Kellstrom, I believe, who just came on in the last, on Nick's program, Poke the Hornet's Nest. I believe that he had some very, very good things to say about restoring our liberty here in this county. But we have to go after the Board of Supervisors. The second thing we have to do is the school boards. The school boards are most important. A lot of people talk about the superintendent of schools of Shasta County. That particular office is something that is just a liaison, basically, between the state and the school boards. The school boards say, hey, we're going to have critical race theory or we're not. Hey, we're going to have, you know, a transvestite come in and undress in front of your five-year-old or not. The school boards are the ones that have control over that. Then the third thing is to make sure that we watch the registrar of voters and the county clerk, because the ROV office is where we vote. Now, there is a big push now to get rid of the Dominion machines. Guess who has jurisdiction over that? The Board of Supervisors. They can get rid of them with a stroke of a pen.
Yep.
So those are the three things we need to do to take back local government and to make sure that people like yourself can get the word out about what you believe about conservatism, about the Constitution, about what's right. And I love it. We were talking before about how you name names about people.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. I think if you want to elaborate on that a little bit, because I think that's important. I think the people that are afraid to call people out are the same people that say they're going to lose their job if they don't, if they're working for the government or working for the state, and they're saying, well, I'll lose my job if I don't carry out this action that's not only unconstitutional but unlawful.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have lost my job, so, and I still to this day have never worn a mask. I've been at gunpoint by the police, and I still won't put it on. So,
What county was that?
Well, that was just when I went to go pick up one of my actors at the airport, and some security guards yelling at me.
Is that Sacramento?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To put on a mask, and I said no, and then by the time my actor arrived and got her suitcase, they had the police there waiting for me, and it turned into a whole thing. But I would just tell people, you know, don't count on the government to educate your children. Even before they started teaching them sexual perversions, all they did was make us into obedient factory workers who respond to bells, and they steal every wonder that a child has. And if they can't make that child submit, they'll try to drug the child and say that he or she doesn't pay attention, that they've got some kind of attention disorder. So I would tell the people.
You know, that's a good point. That's a really good point you just made, because a lot of people don't really realize that, you know. There's an attention disorder, there's something like that, to try to make children comply. Go ahead.
No, it's just a child knowing that that's not the way to go. Even Einstein said it. Einstein came out of school hating science because he just put a bad taste in his mouth after going through the academic system. It was only when he was on his own doing things as a hobby that he realized that he had that extreme talent. So schools are never to be trusted. They are made by I think they were all instituted by the Rockefellers just to make us into, you know, they don't want any more Beethovens or Teslas. They want people who are just obedient and can make the economy run for them. So even before the perversions, I mean, I have a 9-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 15-year-old, and they've never gone to school. It's not a new thing for me. I've known for a long time that schools – I've never even finished high school, because schools to me are just factories to take away the human spirit and to replace it with obedient drones. So – all the parents out there who are tired of this and they want to go out and they want to yell at, you know, other drones, highly educated, highly – people who have gone through higher education are just, 20% education and 80% indoctrination to a system.
Educated beyond their own intelligence.
Right, and none of them can even function outside of an institution. They're all made to function in institutions. There is no individual spirit. Schools do not produce entrepreneurs. They just produce people who are part of government institutions, from doctors – to engineers. A doctor can't open up a storefront anymore and be a doctor. They've got to be part of the pharmaceutical industry. So if all these parents are tired of it, why on earth, if they really care about their children, why on earth do they still leave their children in the hands of the government, especially the disgusting, sexually perverted California school system? It's not going to teach them anywhere. A school is the only place you could send a child for 12 years and have them be an expert at zero when they come out. They'll be 18 years old, and they won't have an expertise at anything. You send a child to a piano class for 12 years.
Yeah.
You've got
great pianist.
You've got a pianist.
Yeah.
You send a child to be a carpenter for 12 years, and what have you got there?
Yeah.
You
know,
a school is a school is nothing but to waste people's time. If a school was real, if they cared about children, they would find what a child's natural proclivities are and just make them do that, you know? Like if Mozart went to school, would we have Mozart? No, he would have been functioning on thinking about math, and he would have been thinking about social studies and learning the history that some bureaucrats made up for us. And we wouldn't have that great human achievement that will never be taken away. So all these parents who complain about the school boards, I'm like, that's fine, but, you know, why do you complain? You want them, you want the free daycare? And then that's what you get. If you care about your kids, teach them. You could any parent could teach the kindergartners and the first graders and the second graders, and then maybe as a community we can come together to figure out something for higher education.
Well, we've had,
for the kids.
We've had educational centers. I mean, I've got a couple of couples that have started educational centers, and they're really neat. And the parents are extremely involved. They teach things like the Constitution, things like that. You know, prayer, the Bible's okay. You know,
great. Yeah.
And so there's a lot of things, and of course, you know, as you go back on education, like you said, you go back into the, you know, the founding of this nation. I mean, you know, they were taught. Thomas Jefferson at a fourth grade level probably was taught more than anybody who went to school for 12 years in the present society. So I think you made a good point, and I know that we're going to go off to our break here. We're only going to take one with you because I really want to hear what you have to say.
Oh, thank you.
And but I do want to come back and talk about maybe this great awakening, and is it really happening? Are people really waking up? Number one. Number two, you know, how do we go after that great awakening? I think the three-prong attack we talked about, the Board of Supervisors, the school boards, and the ROV office, I think that's a start. I'm not saying it's the end all, but I think it's a start because we've got to get people engaged somewhere.
Yeah.
So with that, we will go off to our first break, and if you have a question or a comment for Renee Perez, the phone number is 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567, and time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today, or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
For years, the Redding Rancheria has given back to our community. Friday, September 9th marks the 20th anniversary of the Redding Rancheria Community Fund. Since its inception, the fund has granted approximately $3.8 million in support of our community. This year, we will be celebrating 66 organizations that we have been able to help, with an evening surprise gift of $10,000. All proceeds from this event benefit the Redding Rancheria Community Fund, helping us to continue the cycle of giving. The 20th anniversary Redding Rancheria Community Fund Dinner is brought to you by this station and proud sponsors.
Driving around in a dirty car can impair your visibility, and removing the dirt from your vehicle is essential in keeping you safe. That's why you need to stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Redding. Here's a few safety tips from Quick and Clean. Clear up the clutter by keeping a trash bag in your vehicle. Keep your phone charger in the center console, grocery bags in the seat back pocket, and an emergency kit in the trunk. Just a few safety tips from Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Redding. Quick and Clean.
Like that song, brother?
Do I what?
You like that song?
Yeah, I like that song. Yeah.
What to the people?
We're here with Rene Perez, a movie director, conservative movie director, who's ran into some challenges in his industry. Go figure, right? The great liberal bastion of Hollywood and in the film industry. There's a couple of things I wanted to bring up. Going into the second segment that we have here. First of all, I want to kind of get back to something we talked about at the beginning, and that's the rank and file. You know, when the raid was done on Trump, it was the rank and file FBI agents, the 50 of them that went in and did the wrong thing and violated the Constitution. I mean, are they that oblivious to think that they can go in and commit a crime because they're following orders? We talked about an incident in Idaho earlier this morning on Poke the Hornet's Nest, where a young man was shot in the back by a marshal. Was that something to where he was following orders and trying to arrest and apprehend these people for something as far as the rights they had, their water rights? There's also another incident, Lavoie Finicum. He was murdered. Lavoie Finicum was murdered, but he was murdered by who? The upper echelon of the FBI? No, by the rank and file. I would submit to you that the people on the streets, the police officers, the sheriffs, the sheriff deputies, need to go ahead and stand for the liberty that they are sworn to protect.
Yes.
That's what they need to do. And they haven't done it, and they need to do it. And you had mentioned before, Rene, about how we need to go down and just, you're surprised we haven't just gone down there and dragged these people out of their offices. I'm surprised the Sheriff's Department hasn't dragged these people out of their offices. Or frankly, the DAs have dragged these people out of their offices. Because they're felonies. They're committing felonies. Now, we were talking before the break about a great awakening of people. Do you think that there's an awakening of people? And if you know, what's your thought process on that?
I know there is, because before the COVID thing happened, I was always a laughing stock. I came up with these movies, and people say, Renee, that doesn't really happen. But now it is literally a great awakening that people are starting to understand, oh, well, we are a planet that is initially just founded by trillion-dollar industries of, you know, pedophiles who want to stay in power in their ivory towers, and they've created a thing called government to make anything that they want legal. And they've created industries, pharmaceutical industries, to make sure that we all die as soon as we're no longer capable of generating wealth for them. And they've got the war machine to funnel whatever funds out of whatever country that they want. And the government's just basically all there to make it legal, not following the commandments of God, but following these laws written by bureaucrats and lawyers. So it is a great awakening, and my actors used to say, Renee, there is no such thing as a pedophile island for these people to go. And then I found out that just recently it's been brought to light. I've made, I think, 3 movies where we talk about a virus. The first one was in 2011 that they would use a virus on us. So it's not a new thing to me. It's just I had one that was right before the virus, which is the one that caused me all the problems. So I do believe that there is a great awakening. I think that these guys overstepped their boundaries, whoever it is, Klaus Schwab or Bill Gates, people that really rule the world, who choose our presidents, who choose our laws. They are the ones who overstepped their bounds. Maybe they knew that we were getting too smart, and that we were on the cusp of it, and they had to make a desperate play. But I am so happy when I talk to people now. I used to feel like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, because I haven't watched television since 1993. I felt it was making me into a zombie. So I just, you know, I watch Blu-rays, and that's how I get entertainment whenever I get a chance, and that's what my kids and my wife watch. So I always felt like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Everyone is so indoctrinated to the TV. They're either left wing or right wing, and they all repeat the same things. And there's very little individual thoughts. It's like you could almost tell everyone's life just by their affiliation. And now I'm seeing the human spirit come back. People are awake. They're breaking the programming. And I want to be part of their journey by giving them movies that they could watch that will help them know that they're not alone and help them understand how they could move forward, because it really is the best way. So many people's lives have been altered by their favorite book, their favorite movie, and it illuminates their soul and helps guide them. And usually, you know, in America here, in the Western world, we have movies about heroes. Heroes that we might not ever be as good as. You'd never be as good as Superman, because we'd all have the temptation to exert that power, but he doesn't. So if a little kid sees Superman, they know that they should try to be as much like him as possible, even if you'll never reach it, just like Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what movies are supposed to do, show you the right way and help you try to achieve that goodness. Even if you only get part of the way there, it'll make you a better person. So I'm happy to be part of that. I just hope that people will go to rebellionflix.com and give them a chance, because I think that they'll get what they're looking for. They're going to hear things that they've been thinking about, but they're going to be a little bit more articulated, you know, written by professional and expertly crafted to work. And I think that you are absolutely correct about this. There is a huge awakening in a way that I've never seen in my lifetime. And I'm 47, so I've been around.
Yeah, I think that it's something to where people really are starting to – I think COVID was a blessing from God, because what happened is it woke up a lot of people, especially about the school system. And you're absolutely right about what you said about the school system. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. Most people that are fair-minded would agree with that. That's why there's so much homeschooling and these new learning centers and folks getting involved in teaching their kids in groups.
The walkouts we've had in California. I mean, and we had walkouts here big time. You know, 46% of the kids didn't go to school here in Chester County. I mean, that's huge.
And I think you're also right. There's a thing that we was talking to a pilot in Virginia. And she had gotten a hold of me, and her husband are in a lawsuit. against the airlines because they won't wear a mask and they won't get vaccinated.
Good.
There's
10
pilots that are fighting this. So I've been talking with them, and one of the things she said, because we talked about a lot of these pundits, you see these movies, you see the pundits on TV, you see the pundits out there talking about, I mean, everything from, you know, the one thing about MyPillow Man is the fact that at least he does, you know, he has a business he has that he's created that funds what he does, and
right.
I think that's admirable. I mean, maybe the only admirable one in a lot of degree because in regard because the fact that these people are called, in her mind, in this young pilot's mind, she calls them patriots, P-A-Y-triots. And I think that that makes a lot of sense. They're making lots of money on this, and that's all they're really doing. So I think that the idea of the awakening of the folks is something that's important. The idea of, and we've talked about this, and you were right about when you talked about what the government's created for, what the federal government's function is. Federal government's function is to create power for the federal government. And that's exactly what's going on. So the problem we have here is the fact that we have a thing called the Constitution. But, folks, the Constitution is just a piece of paper unless we use it. And that, I think, has been the issue.
That could be a movie tagline right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. People are obeying more the laws of politicians and lawyers than they obey the laws of God. I mean, this things that they're doing to the kids at the school, just the things that you mentioned here that I wasn't all aware of, about transvestites going to the schools and disrobing.
Oh, yeah. You didn't know about that?
No, I have no idea.
Oh, yeah. It was on the news. Oh, yeah. You can watch that on Fox News.
Wow.
Watch it, you know, do its thing.
Yeah, they'll show disgusting. You a little clip, and, you know, they're reading to the children. Yeah.
Well, you know, I have nothing but pity for those people, but their lifestyle is not a way to emulate. You shouldn't tell your children to do that because they mainly suicide themselves. I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area. I'm from Oakland. And, of course, I knew a lot of gays and a lot of transvestites. And all the transvestites that I know are dead now. I call back home and I say, how so-and-so? Well, they're dead by suicide. It's not, and all, and I think it's about 50%. This is by a study by liberal institutions. 50% of all teenagers who identify as transgender at some point try to suicide. Mm. Why would they be pushing this way of life to children? It's a mental disorder. And that doesn't mean that we have to hate people with mental disorders. My great-grandfather used to wake up and thinking he was still in World War II. I didn't help him in his delusion. I didn't give him a rifle and say, go out in the streets, Grandpa. Of course not. I had to protect him and use all of our compassion to help the person with the mental disorder. So I don't think that there's a single conservative who has ever physically harmed a transvestite. We have no hatred for these people. I certainly don't. I do have pity for them. And what I do hate, and it's okay to hate if you're hating bad guys, if you're hating tyranny, what I do hate is the fact that they're trying to push that lifestyle onto our children.
Exactly right.
Absolutely. When it is not the best way. You never hear about people growing old and having a great life that they look back on when they suffer from that delusion.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. I mean, it's just so true. You know, the point is that it isn't really the sinner, it's the sin. And that's exactly right in that aspect. But also, it's you do what you want to do. America is free. The United States is supposed to be free. And if you have a particular way of lifestyle that you want to have, that's up to you. Just don't force it on me or my children.
That's right.
And that's
right.
The whole point. Mm-hmm. And when you're the government and you're not only – complying with that, not only complying, but enhancing it, not only enhancing it, but bringing it to part of the curriculum, you really have put yourself in a position to where, the idea of corruption at this point in the school systems, I think, is maybe beyond fixing.
Yeah, it is beyond fixing. It was never meant to bring the best out of your child to begin with. At least in my lifetime, it never was. So I don't think that I don't think that anyone should rely on that at all. Take all the kids out. Show them that we're no longer sheep, that we're awake. Take all the kids out, all of them. Let their institution of indoctrination sit there empty and pathetic and show them that we're awake. That's what I think we should do. My kids certainly don't go to school.
Yeah, we did have that happen back almost a year ago now.
Last October.
Mm-hmm. And we did have that happen where the school, the folks took their kids out of school, 45% in Shasta County. It's still getting news to the day. In fact, it's sort of been revived over the last couple of weeks in the national media that Shasta County has come forward and actually did that for a day. It's too bad we didn't do that for a week.
It's kind of
funny.
You know,
or a month. You know, and really bring the schools to their knees.
It was kind of funny. The person that was hosting it, talking about it on their show, was talking about Little Shasta County. Well, Little Shasta County is bigger than some East Coast states.
Wow.
If you look
well,
at
size-wise,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm not talking population, but right. he said size-wise. Little Shasta County. He didn't say population or, you know, geographical size, but it was kind of funny. That was just one of the things he happened to say in that program.
The few news clips that I've seen now are news should not have a narrative. Narratives are for stories.
That's correct.
But now all the news is different from when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It is now all done in a story form. It has writing techniques that, for example, I would use for a horror movie. Not for a comedy, not for a drama, but for a horror movie. Because they're no longer here to inform us. They're here just to make us believe whatever it is that they want us to believe for whatever plans they have coming. So just the fact that the news is like that, you know, I go to an airport or whatever and I see the news or I just happen to run across it every now and then on people's television, and it is just completely impossible that this is the case now, because if anyone who's trained in anything to do with media, you'd know that this is not the way that news is supposed to be. They're supposed to report facts. It's not supposed to be a story narrative. But everything they do is like a soap opera. Here's a little piece of the story. Here's another piece of the story. And stories are great because they tell you how to feel. They make you root for the good guy and want the bad guy to go down. But news stories should not be that way. And the fact that people accept that goes along with an idiom about boiling the water to get a frog to boil. You don't throw him in right away.
Right,
you just gradually eat it up. Yep.
Yeah, so I don't know what's been happening over the decades since I've checked out, but news is literally a factory for television news is literally just a factory for making you feel and think a certain thing, an opinion. It is no longer there to report facts. So,
well, what about where all these newscasters and these journalists come from? They come through the indoctrination pool of the universities that doing exactly that.
And to succeed in a university is not too much different than Hollywood. You've got to say that you are a proponent of these things and you're all about it and you really believe it. And there are some conservative actors, but they're not willing to go against the hand that feeds them.
Well, and you look at, you know, a lot of these newscasts, say like CNN, for example, they're imploding right now because of what, you know, they've got these perverts that are on there that are their newscasters, and they are imploding. They're firing them and making them go away, but at the same time, too little, too late.
Yeah.
And who are they going to replace them with? Somebody worse?
Well, they're going to replace them with someone else who has not earned his way or her way through merit, but who has ingratiated themselves to the ideals of the whoever owns them. And all the news, I mean, really all of media is owned by what is it called, BlackRock, or whatever this bank is.
Yeah.
And they're all owned. It's just that one panders to the conservatives, to us, and the other one panders to the liberals. They make everything easy for us to digest using familiar words.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't like to hear that. They don't like to hear that their news service and their personality that they like on these big corporately owned things are against them, but they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they get harems of women, and they get all these pluses, and they get everything that they're going to get because all they've got to do is use their personality to keep us sheep under control.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't trust anyway. It's better to trust people like this, people like you guys, who are not under those people's control, who have your own independent thought. There's newscasters on the radio. There's newscasters on YouTube. People who are not worth, you know, indoctrinating because they're not worth spending billions of dollars on because they don't have a big enough reach. So I think these independents, I think that people like this, independent filmmakers, independent news services, are the way to go because they are not owned by the very people who are trying to keep us as sheep. It seems like people should shut off their TVs now. Yeah. Shut off Netflix. Netflix doesn't earn money by they don't consider things a success anymore by how much money they make. They make billions of dollars a month. They are a tool of social engineering.
Yeah.
Their metric is how many people did we indoctrinate? And if you have television, if you have Netflix, just know that you are being subject to millions and millions of dollars worth of perfectly tuned propaganda. Propaganda so thick that you wouldn't even know. I could watch any modern movie with you, and I can tell you all the liberal propaganda that you probably didn't even notice, because it's not your job to notice, right? There are people who have important jobs, and they shouldn't have to be experts at filmmaking just to sit down and watch a movie to see if their kids are being indoctrinated or not. And my movies on Rebellion Flicks are R-rated movies, so they're not going to be for kids. Maybe for teenagers and above, because there's a lot of violence and some nudity. But nothing that you wouldn't see on The Terminator or Titanic or, you know, something that we've seen in the 80s. So it's a thing that no one knows about. And I think that's the next step, is that they've got to understand that any big corporate movie, news, TV show is there as a tool of social engineering, and not to empower them, but to keep them asleep.
Now, is there something, a project you're working on right now that you can talk about?
I am. I'm working on, I'm about to start filming next week, a little movie about a woman whose child was taken away from her. My wife showed me an article about some woman whose child was taken away from her because she would not share in the delusion that the child was transgender or whatever. Actually, I should have probably read it more or looked up more. But just the idea of that is so infuriating. And I said, well, that's the hero of the next movie, is this person. So that's what I'm going to be working on next. And, you know, I put all of these movies into entertainment form. So I either do action movies, is what I've done for my whole career, or horror movies. So they're fun genres, and it's what the bad guys do. You know, the bad guys will get zombies, and they'll make it into a propaganda piece for whatever agenda they're trying
environment.
To push. They get a popular superhero, and they make the superhero reflect their ideals.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I'm doing, too, except for I'm doing it with type of propaganda that could help you wake up and help you realize your true human potential. And I hope that people give us a chance, even though we're not as big and as powerful as Netflix.
Now, is there, you know, is there like a cost per movie, or how does any of that work?
Well, for $1.99, you get to rent all the movies that are on there.
There's
only three, and it's only a one-time charge. It's a one-time charge. I don't siphon people's money out of
there.
That's
unbelievable.
So I'm not doing this to become a billionaire. I'm just trying to make enough money to make more movies.
Right.
Because this is basically a fight for our lives. And my institution has been, which I used to think was a wonderful thing to make movies, but now I feel dirty, like I'm part of a disgusting thing that helps keep all of us down. So I'm using every inch of my talent to try to make movies that will reignite the human spirit.
Sure. Okay, right. So then people can get it on rebellionflix.com.
Yes.
So it's RebellionFlix.
Yeah, it's an X at the end, rebellionflix.
Rebellionflix.com. I just want to put that out there.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I really hope that everyone will give it a try. And, you know, I know that people are used to getting movies for free, basically, now.
Sure.
So to add another thing, it might not be, they might feel it's not worth their time. But I guarantee there'll be words here, actions here, that you will not see on any other movie. So.
Well, $1.99, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's for everything.
Yeah, so, yeah. And it's just a few movies on there, but like I said, they are so incredibly unique, I guarantee you'll never hear these words or see these types of stories on any new media in the last 20 years.
Well, now, it goes back to, you said earlier that you've done like 34 movies, correct?
Yeah.
But those were owned by other corporations that you worked with.
Right, I work, my movies get released through commercial distributors, so it could be Sony, it could be Universal Pictures, they all have a home entertainment, so they'll make the DVDs, they'll ship them to Walmart, to Target, and they'll put them on iTunes and Amazon for streaming. But those are all, you know, the old movies, and I would get hired by producers or a distributor, and they'd say, Renee, make me a zombie movie. Renee, make me a cowboy movie. I love when they say cowboy movies. So I write and direct a movie based around how much money they have and whatever genre they want me to do.
Okay.
And then, you know, I've used that to sneak in all of my conservative viewpoints. But now I'm being so blatant, incredibly blatant about it. I'm naming names. I'm doing things that would not be allowed because now I'm just on my own. I'm doing the three movies you see on there are with a producer who is wanting to do this too, who is also outside of the Hollywood system, but he's reached the limit. And so now we need to make money with these movies in order to make more.
Right.
And I'm using my own, you know, meager funds to fund the next movie. So I'm really banking everything on people wanting to give this a try. And I think that once they see it, they're going to want to share it. These are commercial grade movies. I mean, when you hear B movie, people think a lot about the old times when they looked just completely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not. That's not the case anymore with new technology and if you've got the talented actors to pull it off. So they're all commercial grade. They're not too different than what you might see on a normal Netflix show. It's just that the content is absolutely unique. And it's not like a Christian film, because Christian films don't have violence, they don't have hot babes, you know, they don't have anything but those movies have an extremely limited reach. They only speak to the choir. They don't speak to anyone whose soul might need to be saved or illuminated by the message. And like I said, that's the tool that the villains use. They use it 100%. I took my son, who's 9 years old. He wanted to go see the new Batman movie. I said, oh, my God, it's not going to be the Batman that we know.
That we grew up with.
And from the first minute, it was anti-white male propaganda. And I'm like you said, I'm not white. You could tell by my name, René Carlos Pérez. I rarely even speak English. I am so Hispanic. So I'm just speaking English here for you guys today. I hope you appreciate that. It's just so blatant, and there are edicts now that go out saying that, if you make a movie, it's got to be diverse. If you have a white man, he has to apologize for his guilt, his privilege, I'm sorry. And these are things I just can't take part of, not because I'm a white person, I am not, but because this is tyranny, this is racism.
Absolutely, racism.
And it doesn't matter who it's pointed at, it is racism, and we live in a country, they always ask me, they've asked me for the last 20 years, why do you put these straight white males as your heroes? I said, well, I live in America. I said, who do you think our demographic is? Who watch B movies? It's these guys, and they want to see their kung fu movies or the ninjas or the zombies, and I'm doing these movies for them. They're our demographic. And they always thought it was weird. I said, well, why don't you put a Hispanic? I said, well, I do sometimes, but this is America. If I was in Mexico or if I was in a Latin American country, I'd do different. If I was in China, I would do different. I love Chinese kung fu movies. If I ever get a chance to ever watch a movie without my wife and kids, that's what I'll put on. And I love their heroes also. My favorite movie star is a Chinese movie star. So it's like it's not about racism at all. It's just about why are these people so hateful? When in human history have they ever said that they could exclude someone by their race?
Right.
So we have about 2 minutes left, and I want you to go over again your website to where people can get your information. I also want to let you know that you can go to the archives on KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com, and go to Jefferson State of Mind, MINE, and you can share that with the entire world. And you have our permission to do that. So you
great.
Can share this program to where people can hear what you have to say.
It's been a great talk.
Yeah, well, your message has been excellent. So the thing is that people need to hear that. But I want to let you know that you have the liberty to share that with anybody and everybody in the world. And folks, if you're listening to this program now, I know some of you will, a lot of you will share this, because we need more people like Renee who will stand up for what they believe in and really stand up for it. I mean, he's the real deal. He's standing up for what he believes in. He's not shy about it. He's not angry about it. He just understands what we have to do to regain our liberty. So we have about a minute left. Take us home, brother. What do you think?
Well, please, like I said, I know that everyone's used to getting programming for free, but I would really ask everyone who's got any hope for the future, any hope for human freedom, to give us a try at rebellionflix.com and watch some movies that are going to have nothing but good morals to show. And they're dangerous. Some of them are horror movies, and they got some blood and guts and some stuff, but we're all adults. This is all for adults. And please just give us a try.
Okay. Rene Perez.
There you go. And
film director extraordinaire, conservative, patriot.
Go to rebellionflix.com.
That's it.
All right.
Well, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.